Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35. A podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Kate Spencer.
And I am Dori Shafrir.
And we're not experts.
No, but we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, we share your comments and your thoughts, and we answer your questions to the absolute best of our ability.
But please do remember, we are podcast hosts. We are not experts, and we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a medical and or mental health professional. As needed.
If you want to reach us, which we hope you do, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390, and our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
Yes, and you can visit our website, forever35podcast.com, for links to everything we mentioned on the show. We also have a Shop My Shelf at shopmyshelf.us/forever35. You can follow us on Twitter at Forever35Pod, on Instagram at Forever35Podcast, and join the Forever 35 Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/Forever35Podcast. The password is serums. And you can sign up for our newsletter, which is on hiatus for the month of July, but you can still sign up at Forever35Podcast.com/newsletter.
Nailed it. We nailed it. We nailed that intro. Hello from the past. We are recording this before we take the month of July off, but we are here with you in your ears, and it feels good to be here on this, the day after my 43rd birthday.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I'm not like a big future birthday person. Yeah, but I'm 43 now.
Yeah, you are 43 now. Wow.
I feel like for some reason, I feel like blabbing about it this year. You know, like I normally am just like, whatever. But this year I'm kind of like, hey, everybody, it's me and it's my birthday.
Yeah.
You know, I'm leaning into it, I guess.
I mean, I love this for all of us, quite frankly.
Thank you. I did also want to note, just in the realm of serum story, I did put on the Osea Hyaluronic C Serum today, and I haven't used that before. Mm-hmm. And my face feels very soft. I mean, it's one-time use, but I really like their products.
Yeah, their products are really nice.
Yeah.
I agree.
Thank you. And you agree that I'm glowing?
You are glowing. I realized this morning that, have I taken a shower since Thursday? I'm not sure. Today is Tuesday.
What even is time? I mean, we are living through national trauma after national trauma, you know? Like what?
Yeah.
Why even worry about it? You know, if you don't remember, just get in there and scrub. Or if not, live your life.
I know. What is personal hygiene anyway?
Honestly, I don't know. I exercise today and sweat a lot, and then I just put on regular clothes. I wash my face and put on deodorant. Yeah, right? Like, who do I have to impress?
I mean, not me, that's for sure.
No. You and I are separated right now. I have a dog in the office. She doesn't care.
Kate, before we get into what we were going to talk about, I did just think of something that I just wanted to mention.
Please,
which is, I feel like I've finally gotten better at crossword puzzles.
Wow. In what way? Like, you understand the like inside pun that they're pushing, or
I think I'm
you get
like
the twist.
I'm getting the twist. So, you know, the New York Times, as I'm sure a lot of people know, they publish a crossword every day and they get progressively harder throughout the week. So Monday is the easiest and then Saturday is the hardest. And then Sunday, I think they've said, is like a Thursday level, like a Wednesday, Thursday level. Like Sunday's not the hardest. The hardest, it's the longest and the biggest, but it's not the hardest. The hardest is Saturday.
Yeah, I live with a crossword fanatic. So this is my life.
I used to be able to pretty consistently get Monday and Tuesday. And like Wednesday, I could like sometimes get, and then I could never get the rest of the week. And I would like maybe half finish Sunday. If I like half finished Sunday, I would be like, oh, that was a pretty good week. And I was always like, I do not get these people who can like get these Saturday. Like, it's just, I didn't understand it. And now I think, like, thanks to the pandemic, I just have been doing more and more crosswords. And after a while, like with anything, you start to notice these patterns and you start to notice like certain words that appear over and over because they have like a particular combination of letters that is like helpful for crosswords. And so you're like, oh, now I know that like whenever there's a clue about a tide, it's a neap tide. Who the fuck knew what a neap tide was? You know what I mean? So it's like all those sort of little things like that. But I got every crossword last week.
Whoa. Congratulations. That's tough.
Thank you. So this felt like a big milestone for me. And I just wanted to give a shout out to my fellow crossword heads. What's up? I see you.
That's what you call yourselves, crossword heads? Wordies? Crossheads doesn't quite flow off the tongue.
It does not roll off the tongue. I'll workshop this.
There's got to be some nickname Puzzlers? For crossword fanatics. Oh, God.
Crossword fanatics might be, what is the name for crossword enthusiasts? What do you call someone who does crossword puzzles? Oh. A cruciverbalist.
Oh God, I'm like already annoyed. A what?
A cruciverbalist, a person skillful in creating or solving crossword puzzles.
You know, I respect you people. I like a good People magazine crossword. I get annoyed at the crossword. It just feels too like smug to me. The way it incorporates some sort of like witty joke, or it drives me nuts. My husband loves it, so I hear about it, but I never do it. Once in a while, I'll do the tiny ones, which I enjoy. But I'm here for like a celebrity crossword puzzle.
I totally hear that, and I will say something that is funny to me about the Times crossword in particular is like forever it was just dominated by like crusty white men. Who had like all, you know, very similar sort of like intellectually elitist clues. And now, you know, the Times, to their credit, but like a little late, but like at least they're doing it now. Yeah, they are trying to like diversify their stable of crossword puzzle constructors. And so there have been a bunch of puzzles where the clues are clearly more like contemporary. Like there was an answer in a recent puzzle that was sorority squat.
Oh, that's so good. I love that.
Yeah. And then every day someone writes an article like about the crossword that day and kind of goes over all the clues.
Oh,
and
I like
the commenters of that article are generally on the older, more traditional side of things. And so it's been really interesting to see the comments on some of these more contemporary puzzles. Like people are like, I didn't know what this was, and like complaining about it. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. This is very interesting.
Wow, there's a generational divide in the cruciverbalist. What was that word?
Yes, the cruciverbalist word.
Yeah.
Cruciverbalist? Is that what I said?
Doesn't it sound like one of the dinosaur time periods?
It sounds like crucifixion.
Yes. It's quite a choice.
Yeah. Look, I didn't make it up, so.
No, you didn't. Well, I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting. Would love to hear from my fellow Forever 35 Cruciverbalists. Now, Kate.
Yes.
We wanted to read an email. Do you want to read it?
Yeah, we got an email recently from a listener that has really stayed on my mind. They wrote to us and they said, I discovered your podcast during the pandemic and have enjoyed it immensely, so much so that I have went back and have been listening to old episodes and have really been enjoying and have been really enjoying hearing about your individual journeys and discoveries. But lately, I've been thinking about this idea of parasocial relationships. I'm grappling with the idea that I really enjoy hearing about your lives, ways you both are growing, learning, or even your thoughts about things that are going on in the world, all which feels intimate, as if I am invited into your world, and yet we don't have an intimate relationship. You do not know of my existence. I have heard other listeners refer to you as if we're all friends on this podcast, and it's a lovely community you've built where people have met outside the airwaves with each other thanks to this podcast. And yet, most of us listeners are not friends with both of you in real life. I am not expecting you both to solve this dilemma for me. I am wondering if you have ever grappled with this personally, and if you have any thoughts about this. I feel embarrassed for asking this and preparing myself that you may not want to discuss this on air. Surprise! We do. What an interesting question. The first thing I would say is that it's something I've thought about personally as a human, because I certainly have had and continue to have parasocial relationships with people. And I have had them, I think, as like for 20 something years. I've always been interested in people living their lives on the internet. And in like the late 90s, there were some of these people like just taping their lives on these cameras that would update like every 3 to 5 seconds. And I was obsessed. And then they would write like journals, and they would essentially document their whole lives online for people to see. It was very kind of experimental at the time. Like now we're all doing that via social media. But at the time, it was super weird. And also they had to install webcams around their home. They didn't just have a camera on their smartphone, right? So it was completely different. And I found myself feeling very close to these people who had no idea who I was and very intimately involved in their lives, similarly to how you're describing. And now in the year 2022, you know, I do that with the people whose podcasts I listen to, people I follow on Instagram, TikTok. I mean, certainly I think this is something we all do. Dory, you too?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the rise of social media has just kind of enabled the growth of these types of relationships. And, you know, I will say, as someone who has been on the other side of what you're describing, listener, it is sometimes a little weird. Like when I have met people who only know me through the podcast, like there is a kind of imbalance. Like they know so much more about me than I do about them. And you know, I guess that's just something that I've had to sort of navigate. I mean, I guess what I want to say is like, this is normal. You know, this is one of the things that I think people like about podcasts, is because it's like, it's a very sort of like low risk friendship kind of.
Yeah.
You know, like you can kind of just like feel like you're our friend, but with no obligation. Like,
yeah, you don't have to show up for us.
You don't have to show up. Like, you don't have to listen to our problems, like, unless we talk about them on the podcast. Like, also, if you want to stop being our friend, like, you can stop. Which is, that's like an interesting kind of aspect of parasocial relationships and this has happened on both of my podcasts, like when I've gotten very, I don't even say angry, but sort of very like hurt emails from people who have decided that like something I said, you know, doesn't sit right with them. And so now they're going to stop listening to the podcast, and they really feel like they need to let me know how much I have like betrayed them. And those emails to me are always so interesting, because it's like, okay, you know, like we don't actually have a relationship. Like you have a relationship with me, but I don't have one with you. And so it's just interesting to me how people take certain things very personally when it's not personal at all.
Yes. I've definitely done that. And I think we do, there is a relationship with listeners, and that there is, I mean, one, I do feel intimately involved in listeners' lives, and that I do feel like people reach out to us with questions and concerns and comments and shares about their life that are very vulnerable and intimate. And it's important to me, and I'm going to speak for Dory here, because I think also Dory, that we treat that with like the respect and, I don't say gravitas, but like the, with what it deserves, right? Like, I think we both do take seriously the kind of relationship that we have with this amorphous concept of listeners, who we do intimately have gotten to know in certain ways. Like, we've met some people, interacted online with people. I know it's different.
I totally agree. No, I totally agree. But like, the balance is so out of whack. Like, we 100%. Are getting this very tiny sliver of someone's lives, like whether it's a relationship issue or a friend, like whatever they have chosen to share with us, usually right. once. And they are hearing us three times a week in their ears talking about this stuff. So like,
yeah.
Also, there's so many more of them than there are of us. Like, we can't be there for all of our listeners. We just can't. You know,
which is very hard for me as a people pleaser.
Yes, no, and I understand that, and that's why that's why I bring it up, Kate, because like,
yeah. Oh, yes.
I think we should care about our listeners, and we do care about our listeners, and you know, when they write to us with problems, like, we want to help them, but I don't think it is advisable for us to become invested in our listeners in the same way that perhaps they get invested in us, because that requires a level of like emotional, what's the word I'm looking for?
Commitment.
Commitment, yes. That is unrealistic for two people with thousands of listeners.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, the other thing I think too is that, like, just like we only learn certain things about listeners, like, there are definitely things that you and I keep private.
Totally.
You know, that's the other, I think, challenging thing about parasocial relationships from the perspective of the person who people are having one with, is that I have given so much information, so it does feel like people know me, but then there's so much that they don't know.
Yes. Because
they don't know me in real life. And I think that can be confusing, you know, like for example, I love listening to Busy Phillips's podcast. There have been times where I'm like, God, I want to reach out to Busy and tell her blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I don't know her. I listen, I hear all these things about her life, but like, I don't really know at all what's going on. And I think that's so confusing, because even when we reveal so much of ourselves, there's still so much that is not talked about. And I think that's good boundary setting, right? Like, I don't Yes. want to talk about everything on this podcast. It would probably be very boring for most people. I think this is such an interesting topic. I could talk about this for days. And I don't think, listener, like, you know, I don't think you should be embarrassed for asking it. It's a real question. It's interesting. I don't know. Dory, any other thoughts before we take a break?
No, I don't have any other thoughts.
Great question.
All right, well, we should take a break.
Okay. We'll be right back.
All right. We will be right back.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With honey love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode. All right, Dory, an email. After listening to your discussion on gender reveals, I thought you might be able to help with some questions I've been struggling with around my baby shower. As a background, my husband and I have been through 3 years of infertility, including multiple miscarriages and rounds of IVF. We are now lucky enough to be pregnant and finally in the second trimester. Even though it's still early, my family has started to ask about plans for a baby shower because we live about an hour flight away, so need some time to plan travel and such. It's wonderful and thoughtful that they want to throw us one, but we are still a bit nervous about the pregnancy and can't tell when we should have it. Additionally, I really hate the typical baby showers that are all women and the mother-to-be sits there opening gifts. I gave into that for my wedding shower, but really want this to be more about my husband and I together. My family is open to that, but having a hard time imagining it.
Have you ever been to something like that? Any other ideas on how to make the shower less anxiety-ridden and more of a low-key celebration? I have been to baby showers with both partners, for sure, of all gender identities, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that's totally doable. You know, it's hard to have to try to convince your family of something that is so obvious to you, but they quite can't wrap their head around. But if you feel like taking on, you know, kind of pushing them in this way, I think it's worth it. The other thing I think you could do is, like, I don't think you have to have a baby shower. You could have a registry. I understand the feeling of feeling a little apprehensive. And I think you should do whatever makes you feel like emotionally safe right now. And if that's just having a registry and people buying you stuff off that registry, great. If that's saving the baby shower till when the baby is 6 months or 1 month or whatever, great. You know, you don't have to, these things that are ingrained at us as quote tradition, there, you don't have to do any of it if you don't want to.
Yeah. I mean, Kate threw me my baby shower.
I'm not going to lie. It was a pretty good baby shower.
It was really fun. It was like the perfect mix of sort of like some traditional stuff, but mostly just like a bunch of friends hanging out and having brunch.
Yeah. And that has been nice.
Yeah, it was really nice. I had people brought books for Henry. And like, what's been really fun, I will say, is like, some of them were like real baby books that he read, you know, when he was a baby, but like some of them were for more like now. And like one of them was this book that Kate gave us called Counting Our Way to Maine. I think Eleanor.
Oh, I love that book.
And she wrote like a really sweet like inscription in it.
I love that book.
And it was like such a fun little discovery, you know, like 3 years, like I didn't remember who had given me each book. And so opening up the book and seeing like Eleanor's name in it, and like, it was just like, oh, it was so sweet.
I love that. We might have given you our copy. And I think that was also a thing you said. You asked for books, but you were like, I don't care if it's used, new, you know? So I think that alleviated the pressure of feeling like we had to buy, you know, that feeling of having to spend money is stressful.
Some people who were there who had kids, like Kate, gave me like a couple of their kids' favorite books, which is so funny to me now with Henry, because he destroys his books. If someone was like, you can just give us one of Henry's old books, I'd be like, I don't think so. It's like, bite the cover's like hanging on by a thread. There's like tape everywhere. But yeah, that's just an example of something you can do at a baby shower that I think is like a little bit not the totally traditional thing, but it is still people bringing you something and celebrating something that like, and then like I said, like it is really nice to like open a book, because I don't, you know, be like, oh, where'd we get this book from? Oh my gosh, it's from like so and so. So
yeah,
it's really that's been like really special.
I love that.
I don't know if we really answered your question, but those are my thoughts.
Stand up for yourself here. Do what you want. And yes, like your instinct is right. Oh, they said any other ideas how to make it less anxiety ridden and more of a low key celebration? Yeah, don't I say no games, no present opening. I'll open the presents at home with my partner. I'm not sitting around being stared at as I open like a packet of socks, you know? You're in control here. Set those boundaries.
Again, I will just say, if you do the books thing, it is fun to open the books in front of everyone, because everyone has kind of a story about like the book they gave, and it was really fun to like hear from people. I'm a big fan of the book idea.
That might scratch the itch too of like accommodating the people who want you to sit there and open gifts, you know?
Totally. Yes.
Books. All right. Books. Let's books. Read this next question, and then I think we can take a break.
Okay. Hi, Kat and Dor. I'm a park ranger and have to wear a big, rigid, flat hat for work. Yeah, probably the one you're imagining. I have long, thin hair, and regardless of whether it's in a ponytail, braids, or loose, I always end up with a sizable knot forming in my hair where the hat touches at the back of my head. Some days even conditioning and gentle brushing can't get it out, and I truly can't afford to lose as much as I do. Any suggestions for preventing this problem in the first place? Thanks, and thanks for this podcast, which has been instrumental to my mental health over the last 3 years. I often drive long distances alone on wildlife surveys, and I'm always so grateful for your company. Okay, before we get to your actual question, this text is like one of the perfect examples of me being like, oh my God, I love our listeners. Like, how cool. We have a park ranger who goes on wildlife surveys. Ranger. Who's like asking us for advice on their hair. Like, I love that. But I'm also like not going to get like super invested in their lives. You know what I mean?
I do. And also, I just want to say they wear the Smokey the Bear hat, which I mean, obviously that's the park ranger hat that Smokey the Bear wears.
1,000%.
I'm obsessed with the fact that you have to wear that hat.
I have a suggestion that you might not like, listener.
Is it get a haircut?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I think your hair is too thin. It sounds like your hair is too thin and weak for having it long, especially given that it is under a hat all day. I think you need to cut your hair.
Mm. What if they don't want to cut their hair? Here's my suggestion. I don't know if this will work. Have you tried a very low bun? Okay, and here's another kind of wackadoo. Have you tried a hairnet? Would the hairnet at all keep the hair protected from the hat?
Hmm.
Do we have anybody else who wears hats in their line of work that might have some thoughts? Because we've discussed that we wear sun hats, as we know. Dory is
and I'm
on a mission
wearing a baseball cap.
Yeah, but none that tangle our hair no matter what. This sounds really annoying, right? You know? This sounds very stressful.
Hence my suggestion to cut the hair. I think they described their hair as long, thin hair.
Yeah.
And my fear is that, you know, as your hair gets longer, it gets weaker, especially if you have thin hair, and you're going to lose more and more hair because it's too long. It's like,
yeah.
Like your hair actually can't like support how long it is. And the hat situation is just kind of making it worse. So I'm really going to urge you to look into cutting your hair, because I think your hair will be healthier and happier.
Let us know what you decide, listener. We want to know. All right, Dory, another break. And then when we come back, we're talking about houses that smell like dogs.
All right, BRB.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time, and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters, and then my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs, including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets. So they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back. We received an email a while back about how to get rid of a previous tenant's or owner's dog smell in a house. And we got some interesting responses. This voicemail shares a recommendation that multiple people sent in.
Hello, Kate and Dory. I am calling from my Boston hotel room where I'm quarantining because I have COVID. I had to pause the pod and call in about the listener who has the smell in her new home from the pups who previously lived there. And before she rips up the carpet, something else to try is to get your air ducts cleaned, because that, like, so much hair and pollen and dust accumulates in there and attributes a lot to the smell. So I would get your air duct cleaner in there. The before and after pictures of air duct cleaning are always fascinating. And then also go to Target. I'm sure Costco has them, and get some of those like charcoal bags that absorb the smell. Like, you put them in the sun to activate them and they absorb scents. For example, my husband had a car that the previous owner was a smoker, and, you know, had the smoking smell, and he used those charcoal bags for a few months, and like, it was magic. Like, it no longer has the smell. So just two things to try before you take the carpet up. Thanks. Goodbye.
Interesting.
Hot tip. Thank you. Thank you, listener.
Yeah. Wow.
Who knew charcoal was so powerful?
Yeah, these are that was a hot tip. Now, this next emailer kind of concurred with our advice based on their personal experience. Shall I read this?
Yes, please, Dory.
Hi, Dory, Kate, and the poor woman who has leftover dog smell in her new home. My poorly adjusted Shih Tzu launched an assault of urine on our carpets after my husband and I got married, and she had to move to a new home for the third time in her life. I honestly barely noticed the level of disgust, nose blind, until pregnancy rendered my sniffer super sensitive. Long story short, we scheduled professional carpet cleaners. The technician arrived and said, "This won't work. You have to get new floors." So along with preparing for a new baby, we had to spend almost $10,000 on new pet-proof, albeit beautiful, flooring. It's not a great solution, but I think you're both right. It is the solution. And I have a feeling if they invest in the floors, they'll not only like the smell, but also the look much more in their new home.
So bad news, you need new floors.
Yeah, I mean, this was my takeaway from that question.
We're very sorry. We hate to do this to you.
Yeah,
but maybe you need new floors.
I think it's never truly going to go away until you get new floors and paint, as I had said previously.
Oh yeah.
So
I guess ducts and floors.
Ducts and floors. Well, Kate,
what a great title for this episode, Dory. Ducks and floors. And
floors, yeah. We've really run the gamut here. I appreciate you. I appreciate our listeners.
Same.
All right. Bye, ta-ta, everyone.
Mm-hmm.